is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back! Hour number two starts right now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on a Monday. Breaking news out of the world of baseball. Free agency. Steven Strasburg is going to stay with the Nats. 7 years, $245 million. That's a large chunk of change.
Well, SpotTrack had his market value at 30, which is probably pretty accurate. That dude got 35 mil a year, which means Gerrit Cole, as predicted, will probably get between 35 and 40.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's going over 250, whatever the end result of the deal is. The package is going to be over 250.
And well, but he's going to get close to 40 a year.
Sure. And then on top of
whether
all
it's
that,
4, 5, or 6, or 7 years, whatever.
If you want to believe what the Nats ownership has said, that means they only had room to keep one of them, which means Anthony Rendon is going to be playing somewhere else next year.
Yeah, did you see where there was discussion in L.A. about him being a Dodger?
Yeah, and I was
They're talking about possibly trading Corey Seager and adding Rendon, which, you know, from an injury perspective, and are you really any better if you trade Corey Seager and add Rendon?
Think,
yeah, it's a wash, right?
I don't think you trade Corey Seager.
You bolster your farm system. But that was the discussion, is that they're like, well, Do they trade Seager to make room for Rendon because they're already at $178 million in payroll? So,
I talked to some LA people that said if Rendon signs, he plays third. Justin Turner plays first. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and then they still have other guys
in that infield that could play shortstop if Seager goes. So, but I don't know. If the goal is to try to get better, I don't think you trade Corey Seager to try to get better.
I agree with that. I mean, you haven't got over the hump yet, so don't be giving away pieces that are very valuable to you.
And I know this is going to catch heat, but if this were the Astros having this discussion and you talked about trading Correa to add Rendon, that'd be a different story. You slide Bregman over, you add Rendon. I think he's a better hitter than Correa. He's a better defender than Correa. Well,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, maybe
he's a hell of a defender at third base, but when you factor in the arm strength of Carlos Correa.
Yeah, I may have jumped the gun on that.
He's healthier than Carlos
Correa. He is healthier than Carlos Correa. But yeah, Strasburg getting 35 mil a year just set the market for Gerrit Cole.
So if you weren't aware of it, the winter meetings for the general managers and such get underway today. They go through Thursday, so expect a lot of movement and activity, whether it be trades or free agency. There's going to be a lot of discussions. A lot of agents are in with a lot of general managers, and that's normally when things get done. So we'll see if there aren't some hot stove happenings to talk about in the next couple of days.
A name to put on your radar for the Astros. The club is, and this is according to MLBTradeRumors.com, the Astros are monitoring free agent right-hander Josh Lindblom. That's according to John Morosi of the MLB Network. It's a guy that didn't have much success in the majors, went to Korea, did really well the last couple of years, and in the report that they put out, he's a high spin rate guy, which you know the Astros love, which is why I think he's on their radar now. So just keep an eye on that, because that name might resurface again for the Astros, and Astros fans are going to be like, who?
Right.
But then he has the potential to be another Gerrit Cole, Charlie Morton.
Remember when everybody said who?
Or he has the potential to be another Wade Miley and flame out towards the end.
But you got a lot out of Wade Miley. Unfortunately, it's the Janet Jackson, what have you done for me lately? And he did peter out at the end. But from three quarters of the season,
pretty badly,
he was
too
staunch for you.
He was awful down the stretch.
I know.
Awful. I would like to see what his August and September was.
Hurt people more than the Texans.
He was bad.
And ESPN is showing on the crawl that the first half of the Sunday Night Baseball schedule is out.
Oh, yeah?
The Nats make zero appearances as the World Series champs.
Wow.
The Yankees have the most at 5, followed by the Red Sox and Cubs at 4, and the Brewers and a couple other teams not named the Astros at 3.
Interesting.
White Sox being one of them at 3. Brewers, White Sox at 3. Astros not even on 3 times in the first half of the season.
On ESPN.
What does that tell you?
They don't like cheaters. But they continue to run Patriots games, so they obviously, and Yankees and Red Sox games.
You can't be hypocritical.
Right?
You know?
You're going to run Patriots, Red Sox, and Yankees games, but not Astros games because they're cheaters. And both them and the Nats are defending World Series participants.
Yeah,
that seems a little suspect.
I see what you did there.
To me.
I'm not even going to say well played at that.
Who's? No.
Nope.
By the way, Hector texted to say, Cody sounds like a guy that says no regret, regrets with an A in the beginning. He does, totally.
Since we've met Cody.
I don't want to say I like the guy. Don't make me say it.
He's a good dude.
Oh, I'm fine.
You don't have to say it. I said it.
Yeah, he is. I just like giving him our time.
All right, so Tom wants to get in here because of Cody's call, I guess. Bills fans in Houston. Watch Tom be on the bandwagon as well. Tom, what's up?
Well, here we go.
Hey, Barry, I want to take issue about that. You said that nobody in Houston but that guy and AJ care about the Bills. You are dead wrong. Houston is loaded with Bills fans, and I would even say that there are almost as many Bills fans in Houston as there are Texans fans. In fact, you ought to name your
team. I knew you were going to go that way.
You need to name your team the half Houston Texans, because only half of Houston cares about them. The other half cares about other teams.
That's not true.
And when and here's a
Shut up, Joel.
I bet you it's close. And let me say this to you now. There's a good chance that Buffalo's going to get the wild card, and there's a good chance that Houston is going to win their division. My guess is at some point the Buffalo Bills, the lowly Buffalo Bills, are coming back to your stadium, and I'm going to tell you right now the result's going to be different, and I will call back on your show the day after that game, win, lose, or draw. How's that?
Sounds good. Sounds good, Tom.
Barry's show can be heard on 610 AM radio, 11 to 1.
I'm going to tell you right now, Texans, if they keep playing this way and the Titans keep playing that way, Texans might not even make the playoffs.
That's another big
thing.
Don't
get so pumped about that.
I mean, that's what we keep talking about with this whole Bill O'Brien go-for-it mode this year, is you really are going to be kind of cap-strapped going forward. Although, you know, what's funny is I saw that ESPN did a thing over the weekend in terms of upcoming free agents and best places for them. Dak Prescott, Teddy Bridgewater, guys like that. A guy that I brought up several times when I was hoping for a low-budget trade of a very, you know, middle-round draft pick, Chris Harris Jr., they had signing with the Texans. I could see it, but from a financial standpoint, at what price? Right?
Do you
because
you've got to
re-sign
Roby.
Yeah, you got to re-sign some of your own guys. That's the problem when you go with a guy on a one-year contract and he plays well. You still got to pay him big money, and everybody else saw what he could do too. There's going to be a market now this year, and you got away with it for a year, but now you're going to have to pay the piper to bring him back.
By the way, if the Bills and the Texans face each other, I'm calling in that week. I'm not coming in.
You better not, because I would give the Bills more than a fighting chance.
Well, it would be a road game for them.
Just doesn't matter.
But
I mean, obviously it'd be different if the Texans had to play in the cold of Buffalo in the snow. But Buffalo playing indoors, they're still pretty good.
I'm gonna have to block Cody on Twitter, and then anytime Tom calls, we're just gonna have to ignore it.
Nick will be like, "Tom, you're the Tom,
you're up first.
Tom, welcome to the show.
101. Go ahead, bud. Damn it.
I knew right when he called in, and I said he wanted to talk about Bills. I figured he was gonna go at you about that. But I mean, I've seen the Bills fan bar. But I don't know if that's in, like, I guess Christian's tailgate has Bills, like a group of Bills fans. But I don't know if that's indicative of how many fans are in a city. You know what I'm saying?
I still stand by the fact that no one in this town cares about Bills talk. There are a few, select few Bills fans, I'm sure, that could pack a bar.
Right. There's like
they
Bills
can't
bars
pack a stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, but I'll give him credit for saying the fact that there are, because of all the transplants, and we've talked about this before. Especially when we talk about who's going to games and why they're not showing up and things like that. There is a large transplant population that like other teams. Like I said, we can name suspects that are Eagles fans, Cowboys fans, Bills fans, Titans fans, Steelers fans, and keep
and
going.
They're all idiots.
Okay. Now you're really making friends today, and I can't help you any further. I tried, and now I'm just going to get out of the way and let you
they're
get crushed by that Mack truck.
Dummies.
Because at one point or another, you're going to offend one team that's going to win a game.
Don't care.
Coming up. And
I don't play for the Texans. You think I care if they win or lose?
No, okay, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, but if they win games, you're going to hear from them again.
What do you think was the more telling game, Niners-Saints or Chiefs-Patriots? I think the two teams.
I just think the Niners. The Niners, and look, and you can, in both games, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to talk about the calls that were missed, made, or who they hurt. But the fact of the matter is that there was a lot of questions about Jimmy G coming in.
Including by you.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that just now. I got a bone to pick with you. Because I've been trying to tout these Niners, and you were like, I don't trust Jimmy G. Just like the Vikings. You didn't trust Kirk Cousins. Are you a believer now? Are you on this Niners bandwagon?
You asked me a question.
Are you?
And you asked me which of the two games, and I told you the Niners, and I told you why. Because Jimmy G was impressive yesterday.
Okay, so you're
now,
a believer.
Now, I'm not going to give you the reason why they won that game on the final drive was Jimmy G. He threw a little 3.5 yard out to George Kittle, who absolutely Mack trucked and took care of business.
You know, the Undertaker has the choke slam to hell. That was the stiff arm to hell.
And he survived the face mask and kept carrying guys. The rookie Saints defensive back had to, like, jump on his back from behind and hope to God he rode him to the ground.
Three dudes to take Kittle down.
Jimmy G was blow for blow, pass for pass with Drew Brees. It was a fun game to watch.
I mean, you say that literally. Garoppolo's numbers, 26 of 35. Brees was 29 for 40. They both threw for exactly 349 yards. Garoppolo had the one interception, threw for 4 touchdowns. Brees had 5 touchdowns in the game. Fun game. But I think the more telling game might have been the Chiefs-Patriots. Patriots might be in a little bit of trouble. They're not scaring anybody now. That's the thing.
They're not peaking late like they normally do.
The mystique of the Patriots and being scared when they come to your stadium or scared when you got to go there and play them, it's looking like that's not there this year.
Yeah,
I don't think teams are scared of them.
There's something wrong there.
Yeah, teams aren't scared of them.
No, I agree with that. But the other thing is, in the same game that you're talking about, Chiefs defense has been pretty good the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
They're starting to step up a little bit. They're playing better football, and that's all they needed to do because, you know, talking about Brady not having weapons, Chiefs got all the weapons in the world. Mm-hmm. They can do, you know, Mecole Hardman. I mean, he runs back punts and kicks, and he is a burner that's almost as fast as Tyreek Hill. And you've got, you know, the arguably one of the two, along with Kittle, the Travis Kelce, the best tight end in football. I mean, look, there was some really good games played yesterday that told you a lot about what the playoffs could be, and it's going to be fun because those were some fun games to watch.
And you know what? If you were going to get action on those games, Joel, you know where you would go? You'd go to mybookie.ag, and you'd create your account, and you'd start getting action on those games, and you could be winning, you could be losing, but you could really be enjoying the football season. It's a lot more. You think fantasy is fun? Put some real money on it, boy. You're really going to be into these games. And the thing I love about MyBookie is their slogan is you play, you win, you get paid. And all of that is absolutely true, especially the get paid part. Nobody pays you faster than MyBookie. You get your cash when you want it. And guys, I can't stress this enough. It's so important. If you're out there signing up with some no-name sports book, you're not sure what's going on over there, and you know you want to get your money out because you've won a lot, and now you're getting a run around, and they're putting you off trying to send you your money. This doesn't happen with MyBookie. That's why I want you to go sign up with them if you're wanting to get action on games. It's critical. They've got everything else that everybody has. In fact, they have more prop bets than any other sports book out there, but they have odds, teasers, parlays, all the stuff you're looking for. It exists. But they've got more prop bets, and they pay you faster. And that is the critical part. It's safe. It's secure. They've been in business for a really long time now. Be smart with your money, because who you bet on is as important as who you bet with. That's why I want you to go to mybookie.ag right now and sign up. And when you do, put in promo code radio. They're going to double your first deposit up to $1,000 in free money. All you got to do, use promo code radio when you sign up. It's mybookie.ag. Promo code radio. You play, you win, you get paid at MyBookie.
You gonna answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. ACA could be tweaked, reformed, or repealed in the future. But for now, employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! Rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go, wherever you may be on a Monday in the big city. Hopefully you're getting through the first day of the week. If you're Clarence, you're probably not, because you're licking your wounds and bitching about the officials again and just all red-assed. As you, oh, but LSU got the number one seed, so
yeah,
he could be happy about that. Let's try it. Clarence, you know what? Let me just set the table for you. So far, the calls have sucked. So you can either continue to suck, or you can actually improve the overall content of the show. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, after Cody, anything is better than what we've been hearing. So,
fair point.
Nice. But
first off, I want to say yesterday was a great game. It was fun to watch the back and forth. That man, Joey Bosa, he is the truth.
Yeah, he is.
He's a hell of a load. He's a load. Whoa.
He is a beast. And Jimmy G, everybody always, even I had the same questions about him, but he showed up and showed out. That trade for Emmanuel Sanders, it looks like it's working out for him, and it was great. Now let's.
Oh, sorry, Clarence. Appreciate the call. That was great. Appreciate you being honest.
What happened?
You still there, Clarence?
I'm still here.
Oh, it sounded like a cutout.
You dropped for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was at Twin Peaks, and they had some 49ers fans there. We were going back and forth, and then a couple of things happened to where we actually had pulled up the rule book. For example, the touchdown that kind of wasn't a touchdown when his body hit the pylon instead of the ball.
Yep.
So we went and looked at the rules on that. And the ball needs to go inside or over the pylon for it to be the touchdown, not the body. And then there's the old holding call that wasn't a holding call that Dean Bland, whatever his name is,
tried
to explain his way out of and say that it was not a pass interference, which was true because it's not. We went and looked at it. And in section,
it don't matter, Clarence.
Section 4, Article 7 of the legal illegal contact. If a team presents an apparent punting formation, defensive acts that normally constitute illegal contact, chuck beyond 5 yards, etc., are permitted, providing that the acts do not constitute defensive holding. And what did we see? Defensive holding.
Well, I was wrong. The suck factor just went up.
I love you to death, Clarence, but reading the rule book on air never happens
not
again.
Good radio
I promise
either.
You. I don't want to cut you off. It's a one-time deal because usually your calls are really good, but that was awful. In fact, do we want to take calls anymore? This has just been a crap day for calls.
It stung a little bit.
It's been absolutely awful.
I mean, look.
Jeez.
Here, the overriding factor, without getting into any more specifics or reading any rule books, the NFL has a huge problem with their officiating still.
It's with the Saints. Worse. When it comes to Saints games,
no, but the Patriots game, you saw where Henry was diving in for the touchdown. He didn't, and the Patriots were out of challenges.
Yeah.
He never hit out of bounds. They couldn't challenge it, and it ended up being a really big play in the game.
A huge play, right? Because didn't they settle? They had to settle for a field goal there.
Yeah, Brady gets sacked on the next play, and they got to settle for a field goal.
Yeah,
right.
So I mean,
is that the one that got blocked?
It is the one that got blocked. So I believe so.
I think so. Regardless, that touchdown would have been huge.
Well, yeah, because they lost by what?
Clarence is right that the rookie D-back got nailed twice for pass interference that were somewhat questionable as well. So look, there were a lot of calls again yesterday where the league still has a problem.
Yeah.
And they got some work to do between now and the playoffs because that's when it's really going to get dicey. They can't afford to have anything close to a Rams-Saints situation again this year.
I totally agree. And, if they get that touchdown, obviously, because I remember thinking when I saw it, that see, this is when you bitch, Houston fans. This had a, not, you know, I'm going back to the dunk call for the Rockets when the 2 points mattered. Mm-hmm. That touchdown mattered to the Patriots.
It did.
Like, if you got that 7 points, it's a tie ball game. You go to overtime, it's a different ball game. So you have a legitimate beef if you're the Patriots that, look, that should have been a touchdown. We should have 7 points on the board, which makes it 23-23.
Now, still, the ending could go a million different ways from that
Absolutely.
Point, but you can't take away the fact that that was a touchdown legitimately.
Absolutely.
So, you got that going for you, which is nice. And look, as honest as I was with you in terms of my Badgers, I also want to be honest with you in saying, and you heard me say this to Lance before we went on the air, I don't think that there's a worse 10-3 team in the league than the Green Bay Packers, having watched them play the Redskins yesterday. I don't think they're as good as their record. They really worry me in terms of the fact that everybody's bragging about how they've been with their offense and how Rodgers and LaFleur are on the same page. They're really not. Right now, their offense isn't putting up points. They're not clicking on all cylinders. And, you know, kind of like a Patriots situation, they better get their bleep together because they got a big game coming up with the Vikings, to which they could actually choke away the division. And like you said, they should run the table, but that road game in Minnesota is going to be a tough game for them, and they are not impressive, by the way. I just want to throw that out there.
Okay.
Rodgers said they winning ugly's fine with him until they get to the Super Bowl. You ain't even sniffing the Super Bowl right now, Chief. I'm just letting you know.
Well,
they got to improve their offense.
Yeah, that Redskins game, I mean, you got to beat that team.
Beat them, and they started.
You got to beat them up.
First two possessions, marched right down the field, jammed it down there. They were playing great, yeah. And then all of a sudden it was like.
You've got to do what they did to the Giants, to the Redskins as well.
Exactly.
And,
right.
And that didn't happen. And that I don't know if that's cause for concern. I mean, more than anything, I think the cause for concern would be.
Can you hear my voice yet? Because I'm telling you it's there.
Like the blowout to the Niners would be more concerning because, look, when you're playing the upper echelon teams, you want to at least show. Because sometimes you play down to the level of your competition, and I get it. And they were coming off the loss to the Niners, so they had a point to prove against the Giants. But you don't, you know. They have good win. I mean, they have the Chiefs win on their record. What they've got the win against the Vikings and the Bears early on. Mm-hmm. Bears are playing a lot better football now than they were.
First game of the year is a right. Tough game on 10-3, the road, but, and they won.
Yeah. So they've got a few good wins on the schedule, but I don't know.
Not impressed. So okay. I'm just letting you know.
Well, you
let the record stand.
All right.
That they got some stuff to do. So Nick, do we take the last football call or we go to break? You want to just get it out of the way?
I'm just going to go on record. Now, this is all your fault because I said no more calls.
Tyler, don't let me down. Real quick for the break, you want to talk Saints. What's up?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
All right. So I'm probably like the millionth Saints fan that's going to be calling about yesterday's game.
Yep.
Basically, what I wanted to talk about was the last three games for the 49ers and the Saints. See, the Saints have Indianapolis at home. Then we go to Tennessee and Carolina. And the 49ers, I think, have Atlanta, the Rams, I think, and then yep. The Seahawks. Yep. So the last three games for the 49ers are going to be, I think, in my opinion, a lot more challenging. So I guess really, I mean, who do you think has a better chance of getting the first seed? Because, I mean, we still have a chance. I mean, Seattle losing, an embarrassing game, really, defensively for them yesterday.
No, Tyler, end the call right there. It's a good call, and we appreciate it. And look, when you look at the schedule right there, look, it favors the Saints. But you got to take care of your business because we've seen with a Texans team yesterday that should have – everybody was chalking up a W to them, and they're a division leader at the time, and they choked it off. And so, you know, stranger things have happened. But, yeah, definitely I think schedule-wise, Saints have the easier schedule for sure. And the one thing the Niners don't want to do, and I think Romo alluded to this yesterday, if you go – to San Francisco, to Santa Clara, where the new stadium is. That's a tough place to play. But if you got to go on the road and play in Green Bay or play at New Orleans, you're in a world of hurt. I don't care how good you are. You better bring your A game like you did yesterday because that's going to be a tough environment.
Everybody has, it looks like, of all the contenders left in the NFC that are at the top, and I'm talking about Niners, Packers, Saints, Seahawks, they all look like they have at least one difficult game left. Niners have two because the Rams, I think, still present a problem for them. So, but they have Rams, Seahawks. But still, I mean, the Packers have that game against the Vikings. That's not going to be easy.
Right.
Saints have that game against the Titans. That's not going to be easy. And it's on the road, so they've got to go to Nashville and play. And then the Seahawks have that last game against the Niners, so I think this is still up in the air. I still think the Niners are the best team in the NFC, but it's not by much. And I think any of those four teams that we just talked about could get the first seed in the NFC, and it wouldn't surprise me. It's not going to surprise me if the Packers do it or the Saints, Seahawks. I mean, these are all good football teams.
Absolutely right. All right, with that being said, we've got other things to get to. We got to get to the college football playoffs. We've got the Rockets who are playing tonight against the Kings and beat the Suns over the weekend. So if you want to get in on something like that, 713-780-3776. And basically the way the calls are going, it's going to be up for a discussion. But you can call, basically text, because then at least we know what you're talking about. Or you can tweet any one of us as we are pretty responsive, whether we're in show or out. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you about the good people at Infuse Energy. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. I switched 3 years ago. I would do it all again. I just re-upped with them because they've saved me thousands off my previous energy provider. And that's all I really want is a deal that's easy to work with and also people that are easy to talk to that get it like I do and understand what I need out of an energy provider. They got a 5 out of 5-star rating with the Public Utilities Commission of Texas. You can't get better than that. So it already starts there. Their customer service, fantastic. Check them out, InfuseEnergy.com, or better yet, call them and see what I'm talking about. 844-INFUSE2, 844-463-8732. You're going to get a human being on the phone, not an automated system. They're going to ask you as many questions as you ask them, and they're going to pinpoint the best plan and the best rate they can possibly give you. You mentioned ESPN 97.5, and right off the top, you get a $25 bill credit on your first bill, and they go from there. They build relationships. They're like a trusted friend. They're not going to lie to you or deceive you, and maybe there's going to be a time that you're going to go to them, and maybe you go to them, and they say, hey, there is a company out there that can beat our rates right now. That's what a trusted friend would do. They're honest, because you might not go with them this time, but you'll be back because you know that they were upfront enough to tell you the honest truth. And that's what you want in a business relationship. It's affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back and 100% green energy at your fingertips. Infuse energy into your life.
Sam Windsor with the Houston Sabercats here. Even when I'm down under, I'm listening to ESPN 97.5 on the app. You can stream the boys from anywhere. Mate.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show, probably with a lot less calls. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, as we're alive and kicking on a Monday. Obviously, so are you, but you need more caffeine and less ambition to call and spew gibberish. We didn't get to the college football playoffs yet, fellas. Some really entertaining football this weekend. A lot of results.
Sorry for your loss.
See, I was careful too. They hung in there. And a lot of people were tweeting me. And if you noticed, if I responded at all, you might have gotten an emoji. But I don't comment because I know just as easily as they were able to get up in that game, it could turn, and it did. And I was glad that I didn't even comment. But they shocked, Wisconsin shocked me in the first half. I was proud of the way they hung in there. Their offense is worse than Bill O'Brien calling it in terms of how predictably generic it is. But the Buckeyes are a better team, and they won. And but because Wisconsin played the way they did, I really firmly believe that's the reason why LSU got the one seed and the Buckeyes the two.
Well, yeah. I mean, Buckeyes obviously struggled in the first half against Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And the fact that LSU worked Georgia.
Ooh, did they?
Had everything to do with them getting flip-flopped.
Well, but according to most of the experts, no, Ohio, this didn't hurt Ohio State because Wisconsin was ranked highly twice, so in the top 10 both times, so it wasn't going to hurt Ohio State, and they were going to be just fine. And I kept going, I don't see it that way, but everybody was on the Buckeye bandwagon until the final results came out.
Yeah, I don't see how. I mean, I honestly don't see how.
But you heard what I'm saying.
Yeah, I heard what you're saying, and again, yeah, at the time there were eight, but how do you –
talking, you heard the experts like I did, all convinced that this didn't change anything. Ohio State was still going to be one.
I didn't really see that.
I heard that a lot.
I didn't see it or hear it or read it or whatever, but I didn't believe it. If I would have seen that, I would have told them they were idiots. Because, yeah, you've got the number one team beating the number eight team, but you've got the number two team who went in and absolutely waxed the number four team. And that carries a bigger weight. And Wisconsin was already a two-loss team, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Georgia had the one loss. So, I mean, of the two wins, LSU win was more dominant over a better football team. And no offense, but I think Georgia was a better football team just based on rankings than Wisconsin. And I think Wisconsin's a good football team, but they just made that look ugly. LSU absolutely earned the right to be the number one seed and play OU. And I think they're going to absolutely destroy OU.
Yeah, I mean,
because OU didn't look good in that Baylor win.
Look,
or in that win against Baylor,
I'm looking at everything, and I'm saying, look, you couldn't have been more dominant if you were LSU. Mm-hmm. You came out of the get-go and just absolutely took them to the woodshed. Mm-hmm. And then you look at the fact that Ohio State struggled. But everybody, as we said, all year long, you don't want to be in the two spot because you know you're going to play Clemson. And look, Clemson has had a cupcake schedule, and I know that they can't recruit and put rosters together for the other teams in their conference. And they're out of schedule, out of conference schedule. Their non-conference schedule hasn't been great, but they're a damn good football team, and they whacked Virginia and showed it. That's gonna be one hell of a game, 2-3.
I was at a gig at the time that Clemson and Virginia were playing. I was at a private gig in Richmond, mm-hmm. and they had a TV on, and I walked out, and it was 14-7 after one. And I thought, oh,
yeah, no.
And then it just got bad after
that.
Yeah,
they just absolutely.
But for a quarter. They had Virginia scared a little bit.
I don't think so.
One quarter of football, it's 14-7. They already
knew, though, that they missed opportunities. I think that they were felt in control. Look, and the game that I had pegged was the fact that I thought Utah was more smoke and mirrors, even though they
did call
good.
That one.
And I said Oregon would win the game outright, and they did. So that was a good game to watch, at least, because it was entertaining, and there was scoring and everything like that. But when you
that
look
wasn't
at it.
A good game at all. I didn't think so.
I was watching it. I mean, I thought they were putting points up, and I thought Oregon really made a statement. And I think from the fact that you got a Rose Bowl that features Oregon and Wisconsin, it's a good matchup. You said you thought Georgia was better than Wisconsin. That was another game. Obviously, it's not going to work out with the way the bowls work with the Big Ten runner-up going to the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have taken Wisconsin with a good shot to beat Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd have done that. But,
okay.
I
think they got it right, and I think they got it right single step of the way, from the order to the teams.
Now, what I haven't seen is who was 5 and 6. Did they? Have you seen that?
Georgia, from what I've heard, I got it for you, but Georgia didn't move. They stayed at 5.
Okay.
So I had it on the doc, but the actual final rundown, I mean, obviously, and there wasn't anything to debate.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Georgia 5, Oregon 6, yeah. Baylor 7, Wisconsin 8. Yeah. Florida 9, Penn State 10. Okay. Yeah, I think they got it right.
I do, too. I really do. And I think that for the most part, you know, it's going to be a good bowl season, and you should have some good games. Look, there's a lot of people. I got a kick out of the fact that even Matt Leinart's boy, Reggie Bush, Matt didn't have his back when they were talking about the matchups. And Reggie Bush was like, no, don't sleep on Oklahoma. I think they're going to give whoever's won a
get out of here.
And Matt Leinart looked at him and was like, really, dude? No.
Oklahoma's about to get worked.
Yeah, I don't see it.
I think Oklahoma's going to get worked. I think Ohio State Clemson is great. It's going to be a fun football game.
Yep.
And for every time, because this is how it's been all year. It's like I've been talking resume, but I've had to hear, and sometimes you, but not like it's been bad with others, but you know, you and I always have these debates about eye test versus resume and numbers,
well, we
right?
We point out those are the two right. ways the committee
and
can go.
Because you're always like, well, the eye test, I see these guys as this, that, and the other. And I'm the same way, but I'm the opposite. I look at numbers, and I look at results and resume. It seems like it's at least for football, that's what college football, we've been like that. Because we had to hear about the eye test. Ohio State's better than LSU because of the, you know, look at how they've just been, you know, beating everybody. Same thing with Clemson. We heard that about Utah. And it's like, okay, well, you know.
The biggest thing from my standpoint was I didn't side one way or the other, but I said there's two ways of looking at this. You can say strength of schedule, which I said favored LSU, and I've been LSU at number one. I think you and I both have had LSU at number one since about week 6.
Yeah.
Once they basically took it over, they should have stayed there.
Yeah.
And you can say all you want about looking at Ohio State, and yes, on paper and the way they look offensively and defensively, you can say they're the most talented team in the country, but that doesn't win football games. So for me, you could either go with the eye test, or you could go with the strength of schedule. But either way, you can't go wrong. It's just that one team's got to play Clemson and the other one doesn't. And that is a huge advantage for LSU.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. I mean, when you look at LSU, they've got wins against 4 of the top 13 teams in the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's big.
It really is. And so we'll see how it all plays out. The good news is that there's going to be some good ball games to watch, even if it isn't one of those two semifinal games. You know, there's some good matchups. There's also some ones that I'm not really enthralled to, but that happens every year. But overall, the fact that I think the committee got it right. I think a lot of it lucked out that it played out right in front of them and fell into their
laps.
They
got lucky.
Because they could have had a couple issues on their hands.
If Wisconsin, you know, if Whiskey holds on.
Wisconsin wins and Baylor wins. And now you got to, and then if Utah wins.
By the way, am I crazy in thinking that Baylor and Oregon could have been flip-flopped as well?
I'm still not a big supporter of Oregon.
Me either. You took OU to overtime, and yes, they look bad. Third string quarterbacks in the game. You're Baylor. You still managed to go to overtime with the number 4 team in the country.
You and I were texting in the game, and I said if they don't have the quarterback woes, that could have been different.
I agree. So I might be fine with giving Baylor that 6 seed, and that's important because that's a New Year's 6 bowl, right? Yeah. It's a New Year's 6 game. That does a lot for a program like Baylor.
Yeah, and kudos to Matt Rhule because he did a hell of a job regardless. Especially when you lose, like you said, your first two quarterbacks and you're still in overtime.
You didn't lose the second quarterback, but he was just awful.
He was awful.
So you had to go with your third string quarterback to keep you in the game, and he does. You go to overtime.
You had the gumption, I'll say, to make that move, and it worked out. He's a hell of a coach.
Yeah.
Now he's a favorite for an NFL job along with Lincoln Riley. That'll be interesting, too.
Yeah.
All right, and what else is interesting is we've got about an hour and a half left to go in the show, so plenty of opportunities for you to join us. 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you guys on a Monday keeping us locked and tuned in as we basically are football heavy on Mondays after Texans, especially when you get done with the segment we just got done with college football on top of the big Texans game. There was plenty of football to be spoken of. We already even covered a little baseball. We'll get to the Rockets in a while as they're home again tonight. But, you know, bottom line is as much as I hate to say it, but until the football playoffs are over, people don't really focus on NBA in this town. I heard Charlie on the way in. Did you guys hear this or not?
Chances are no.
Charlie said that right now on like websites and things, you can go to the Rockets Kings game tonight for $6.
Wow.
Literally $6.
Is that surprising
and everything? It might get to 13. It kind of surprises me because at least there's enough to want to see on this team that you would want to go if you got a chance to get out and go to a Rockets game. Especially now, because you want to take advantage of seeing them before they get close to the playoffs, and it's tougher to get tickets to the big games. You know, you could catch a game, but you catch a game for...
It's the Kings, though.
It is, but they're better.
And it's a Monday.
I get it. These are the same people. Just bottle what you just said, and then just replay it to me and tweet it to me when I say, why wasn't everybody sitting in their seats last night?
I'm not going to tweet that out on December 9th.
I get, okay.
Playoffs, I will.
Playoffs?
I can't hear the word without hearing him do that. By the way, can we talk about the fact that it's December 9th, 2019, and it's 81 degrees outside? Sometimes this is the stupidest city to live in.
I love it.
I hate it.
You better love it today because you heard what's coming tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow it's supposed to be cold.
Well, first of all.
Oh, well, praise.
The front comes in and it's supposed to unload buckets upon buckets of rain.
Oop. Okay.
And then from there, it's supposed to be cold the rest of the week with temps in the 40s to low 50s as highs.
Go to Cancun. As the good Lord intended it to be.
Is that what happened?
Well, look, the high is 57, 60, 61, and 66. That ain't terrible.
If it stays that way for the next 2 days, I thought it was supposed to be high 40s, low 50s.
Lows are 42, 42, that's 45, and 51.
That's your own zip code. That's out in your neck of the woods.
No, that's Houston, Texas.
You sure?
Yeah.
That's not from your weather center?
Yeah. You know how reading works, and when you see the
Troy
H and then the O and then
what we were talking about the
followed
Niners,
by an
Nick.
S and a T.
Why don't you get Troy in here? It's got to be better than this.
It's not the Troy you think.
Good. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? First off, I want to give Nick props. Tight ends, perfect place to eat lunch.
Cool. Yeah, buddy, what you have?
Say what?
What did you have to eat?
I was simple. I got a burger, but the scenery was perfect. Enough TVs, really, really nice staff. It was a good place to eat lunch.
Nice.
Everybody giving all this love fest to the 49ers, but nobody want to talk about the 49ers supposed to be a great defense, and Drew Brees still dropped 6 touchdowns on them. Like it makes it seem like it was a one-sided game. Yeah, they had the one little nice run, the catch and run at the end, but the 49ers defense looked suspect yesterday, and nobody wants to talk about that. All they want to, and Jimmy G didn't even really win the game. It was one bad defensive play by the cornerback. So, I mean, they should give a little more equal coverage to the to how they cover the Saints.
Hey, Troy, are you a Saints fan? Are you a Saints fan?
Is that an obvious?
Yeah, but I mean,
even objectively,
if the Saints would have won that game, they'd have been like, oh, yeah, ho-hum. They would have talked about the 49ers giving up 46 points. Come on, let's be real now.
That's not true. That's just not true. I mean, sometimes you're going to have a shootout. The Saints have given up 300 points this year. The Niners have given up 229. Even after yesterday's game, Niners still plus 168. Still up there as far as points scored, points allowed.
You want me to solve all this
for you?
You
got in a shootout with Drew Brees and the Saints. That's going to happen on occasion.
Troy, your biggest problem is you better get Alvin Kamara off the back of a milk carton and back on the field playing the way he's capable of playing, or you ain't going anywhere. Alvin Kamara has been awful.
Well, first of all, that wasn't the type of game for Kamara anyway. The 49ers defense is too fast. They should have used more Murray. But at the end of the day, we've been hearing about how the 49ers have a great explosive defense, how Bosa is the best defensive player on earth next to Aaron Donald, and they still gave up 46 points and had to have a last-second field goal. 46 points is a lot of points for the one of the best defenses, and nobody's talking about that. They held Lamar Jackson, but they held the Saints, and nobody's talking about it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Troy, appreciate the call. Look, he just got done giving credit to the Saints defense. That's why it wasn't a Kamara game, but then he's crapping all over the Niners defense. Stop it. Okay, look, the bottom line is Alvin Kamara's been dinged up a little bit, and since he's been back, and don't tell me that Alvin Kamara out of the backfield, with as much of a living as he has made and all of last year, how many catches he made and how big he was catching the football, that he wouldn't have been a factor or should have been a factor yesterday. That's the biggest problem the Saints got right now.
I mean, you're talking about what Niners have given up eight to the Packers.
Yeah.
They gave up 20 to the Ravens in a loss, and the Ravens have been like putting up what 40 a game, it seems like, every game. I feel like the Niners defense is okay. You got hooked up in a shootout. That's going to happen sometimes. Let's be real. Did you think the Niners could sustain the type of offense required to get in a shootout with Drew Brees and the Saints? No one would have thought that with Jimmy Garoppolo leading that offense, even though this offense has proven to be pretty good. But no one would have thought that team could have held up with Drew Brees in a shootout, and they absolutely did. So instead of talking about their defense, talk about the offense. Their defense is just fine, I promise you.
They had the best play caller in football in Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
They have a weapon now in Emmanuel Sanders they didn't have at the start of the year that can do so much to open up their offense even more. They have three running backs that are all capable. And to prove my point, I'm going to tell you that Alvin Kamara, and I'm going to say, well, how good do you think he is? Well, in fantasy football, is one of the top three picks. It was Barkley, Kamara, and Christian McCaffrey, right? So if he's supposed to be that good, Alvin Kamara yesterday had 13 carries, Barry, for 25 yards. He averaged 1.9 yard per carry. Mm. He had four catches for 18 yards with a long of 9, averaging 4.5. If he doesn't get you more and he isn't a bigger part of your offense, you got real problems come playoff time.
Mm-hmm.
That is what you need to be worried about. That and the fact that you can say all you want, but your defense and your defensive line was supposed to be so good too. I mean, Emmanuel Sanders got 7 receptions for 157, threw for another one, rushing the ball, the three-headed monster. Those guys were running the football when they needed to. I'm telling you, man, the Niners are for real. I know you're a Saints fan, but you got to give credit where credit is due. Niners, just like I did. I wanted to see what Jimmy G stepped up in a big game to do. He did it. They've got a great defense. They're a well-rounded team. They're the best team in the NFC in my mind.
I agree. I mean, this is a team that's still third in football and points allowed after giving up 46 to the Saints.
That's a big point, too.
Yeah. They've been so dominant all year that they can go out and give up 46 and still remain third in football. Not the NFC, in football and points allowed.
And think about it, if Richard Sherman doesn't hurt his hamstring and go out of that game on that final drive, and on the very next play after he went out, there was confusion, and the Saints got a big chunk play for about 20, 30 yards, Sherman's still in that game, you're still matriculating down the field. I'm telling you right now, man, look, give credit where credit's due, because I said the Saints were the best team in the NFC all year. But I'm here to tell you, I changed my mind. The Niners are for real.
They are legitimately a good football team.
And that's not to say the Saints can't get back and be in that discussion again. They got some things to work out. And like I said, it starts with Alvin Kamara.
And with the Niners, I mean, you kind of expect to lose in your division. No one sweeps their division.
True.
Right? even the Patriots have been prone to losing in the division on occasion.
To the Bills.
Their two losses this year are divisional against, against the Seahawks. They have the one loss. And then their other loss is to the best team in the AFC, 20-17 against the Ravens. So you have one division loss and one loss against the only other team that's probably better than you in football, and you lost by a field goal.
And traditionally,
Niners are just fine.
Yeah, traditionally, to your point, as bad as the Dolphins have been, Patriots lost to the Dolphins last year.
Yep.
They normally slip up to the Bills when you least expect it. Maybe even the Jets get him once. You're right.
Now watch them go out and get worked by the Falcons.
Falcons are playing football. Because you know
what? The Texans did. Yeah, Falcons are playing decent football. Matt Ryan, can you believe that stat?
Yeah.
Second fastest to 50,000 yards.
Yep.
Boy, you talk about not living up to expectations.
But it's also a different game with a lot more passing.
Drew Brees was the fastest. Matt Ryan, second fastest.
It's crazy.
But, you know, it's funny because we'll talk all this and we'll defend the Niners and everything else against Saints fans. And the crazy thing is last week came in and said, all right, we said if they go 2 out of 3, the Texans, this is a good football team. And you know, no one would have argued. No one did argue with us last week. Or me, you know, I don't want to throw you under the bus and put words in your mouth. But I said, look, I think this is a good football team. I'm prepared to say the Texans are a good football team. And then what do they do? They go out and they lay an egg. And again, it's back to this Jekyll and Hyde. Who are they? This pattern of lose one, win two, which at the end of the day, if you're winning 2 out of every 3 games,
you're in good position.
You're doing just fine in football. So you can't get too, but it's who they lost to that I think hurts worse than the fact that they lost. But watch the Niners do the same damn thing. We're over here touting how good they are. They're going to go lay an egg and lose out. I'll be so mad.
It's, you know, it's possible. This is going to be real interesting too, fellas. The fact that the Patriots play the Bengals this week, okay? Bengals coach Zach Taylor, during his press conference, was asked, was someone from the New England Patriots videotaping the team's sidelines during their game yesterday against the Cleveland Browns? It was during his news conference, and he alleged by saying, I'm aware there was an incident. I know the league is investigating it, so I will not comment.
And who is this?
The head coach of the Bengals saying that their sidelines was being videotaped yesterday by Patriots personnel to try and get the signal.
I wonder if Barstool is going to come out with some more stuff about how the Astros are cheaters.
Well, if it finds out that
Barstool's a Boston-based website, and everybody was like, oh, I saw something, I don't know who tweeted it, but when they were going on about how the Astros are cheaters, they had a jersey, I think that said asterisk instead of Astros on it.
They took my...
They thought it was all fun and games, and it's like, that's the same. Somebody tweeted and said, this is the same website that did a Roger Goodell's a clown t-shirt because he called out the Patriots for cheating. So we'll see.
The only difference is there is a card table with a laptop and a wire on the Patriots sideline. It's just that they're using that ridiculous boat horn every time they want to send a signal in.
Everybody cheats. Is it safe to say that pretty much everybody cheats now?
I think it's pretty safe to say. Yeah.
A lot of people cheat. Not everybody, but a lot.
Stay tuned. Final hour of the show is next.
Hey.
We haven't given away what we were supposed to give away yet. What
is that? Gross? That's Alistair Overeem's lip. Well, what's left of it. We need to talk about that.
That's pretty nasty. We still got
his teeth, and he's not smiling.
Of golf at Wildcat to give away on the 12 days of Christmas. And plenty more to get to in the final hour of the show. So stay tuned for all of that and maybe a chance to win. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!